Okay, go back with me now to the book of Philemon. Let's read a few verses again. Philemon, let's read verses 10 through 12 and a couple of others. The Apostle Paul is writing to a dear brother and friend named Philemon on behalf of a young man named Onesimus, and he writes, verse 10, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Now thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels. Then down in verse 15 he says, perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. And in verse 18 he writes, if he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, or anything, put that on my account. A wonderful, wonderful message of God's amazing, sovereign love, mercy, and grace in bringing a runaway rebel to himself, home, to stay. Well, the story went like this, and this is how it went. We are just filling in between the lines, judging from what the apostle wrote. Paul the apostle was preaching in Colossae at some point before this, and there was a man there who lived there named Philemon. And Philemon heard Paul preach, and the Lord saved him. He heard the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Philemon heard the Apostle Paul preach the gospel, which I will endeavor to do in this message. And the Lord saved him. And Philemon was a fairly well-off man, fairly rich. And he had servants, slaves, is what they were generally. A man or a woman or a young person even was a slave back then because of either a crime they had committed or they had got into debt so deep that they couldn't pay it off, and therefore the law sentenced them to serve, to be a slave. But Philemon had slaves or servants, and one of them was a young man named Onesimus, a slave. Now Philemon heard the gospel and the Lord saved him. And Philemon now loved the Lord Jesus Christ and loved the saints of God and loved those who preached the gospel like Paul. He loved Paul. They were close friends. And Philemon, we believe, had Paul preach in his house while he was there in Colossae. This is Colossae is where Philemon is from. He had Paul preach in his house. There in verse 2 it talked about the church in his house, didn't it? Are you with me? And he had him preach to his friends, his family, and his servants. Everybody, like old Felice. Anybody remember the message on a man named Happy down in Mexico? Old Felice, whom the Lord used to bring his whole house to hear Brother Walter. Huh? Well, old Philemon had his whole house to hear the apostle preach. And so I believe that this young fellow named Onesimus heard. I believe he heard the gospel from Paul, but it had no effect on him at that time. No effect. He heard it. He's just like me. He heard it, but it wasn't unto life. Seed might have been sown, though, you reckon? See, that's our hope, you know. Deborah, that's our hope. God said, "My word will not return void." It's like the seed, he said. Well, he heard, and Paul left Colossae. He left Colossae after a while, and he ended up in prison in Rome for preaching the gospel. Now, Rome is 1,000 miles from Colossae. I hope you're 1,000 miles away. God sent this preacher 1,000 miles away and put him in prison. Well, now this young man's never going to hear the gospel, is he? God's ways are not our ways, are they? He's able to save to the uttermost. Even to what? The ends of the earth. So he sent Paul 1,000 miles away and put him in prison. In the meantime, this young fellow named Onesimus, this slave. And as I said, he's not really a slave. Not now, not to Philemon. The Lord saved Philemon. Philemon is now a merciful man. You would have wanted to work for him now. Can you imagine your boss being a believer? I mean a believer. Could you? How much time you want off? You need a raise? I'll give you more. Huh? Oh yeah, he's a merciful man now. Kind man. He's giving young Onesimus everything he needs and more. This young man's not lacking for anything now. He's not in slavery to Philemon. No, he thinks he is though. This young boy thinks, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. I got to get out in the world. I got to see the world. I want to be free. He never had it made like he did under Philemon. I want to get out. I want to be free. I want to be my own man. I want to be in charge of my own destiny. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're an ignorant young fool. How do I know this happened? You're looking at Onesimus. Got to get out. Got to get out. You're not under bondage. You're in a good place now. No, I want out. And so he begins to plot his escape. Plot his escape. He says, what I'll do is I'll steal me some money. He just needed to ask, didn't he? Philemon would have given it to him. But I'll steal me some money and I'll sneak out and I'll head to the big city. I'll go to Rome. Where will I go? I'll go to Rome. That's where I'll go. Big city. And I'll make my way and I'll be prosperous. I'll go to Rome. So one night he steals some money and a horse. And he rides away as fast as he can, in the darkness of night, as the old saying is, hell bent and slapping leather. Got to get away from this man and get away from this religion that he has and get away from God. You're running to him and don't know it. What I'm trying to show you is God. You see, in between all of this, God's amazing providence. Old brother Maurice Montgomery, when he was headed off to the war, Korea, I believe, his old dad, Brother Hubert, who's gone now, to be with the Lord, And his last words to Brother Maurice when he was just a young boy, an 18, 19-year-old boy heading out, you know, the old man's heart was breaking. Brother Maurice, I don't think, was a believer at the time, but old Brother Hubert said to him, "Son, remember, God is everywhere." And he was. So Onesimus heads out. He heads toward Rome, big city lights. Now, Onesimus is no good. He's no good. He's stolen. That's what he did. He did. He's unprofitable. Didn't Paul say that? He's unprofitable. He's been a worthless servant to Philemon. He's no good. He's an ungrateful young rebel. He had everything that Philemon could give him, but he wasn't happy. Just like that old prodigal. Give me what's coming to me. You don't have anything, Cal. You haven't earned anything. But he's a young rebel and he's a thief. Knowing how he started out, I know how he ended up in Rome. I know how he ended up when he got there. Don't you? He ended up in the gutter. He wasn't prosperous and all that. He ended up in the gutter. That's how he started out. You start out a thief, you're going to end up that way, right? And he went to Rome, went to the big city, and you know how he ended up. Spent, like that prodigal. Spent, wasted all his substance. And he's in the back alleys and he's in the gutter in Rome. He's in the gutter. Now, as I say, or as the Scripture said, God's ways are not our way. And this is what we're going to preach Wednesday night, Lord willing. Isaiah 55. My ways are not your ways. God's high ways and thoughts. And even that's not what you think. But God's ways are not our way. His way up is down. The way that God Almighty brings us high, as high as you can get, no higher, is to make us low. The only way we can sit among princes, among Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, the only way is to sit on the dunghill. God hath no respect. God hath no mercy for the high and the lofty. But to this man will I look, he said. The poor and the contrite. The broken. The down and out sinner. So if you know someone, this would be a good message to give them. If you know someone, maybe you are that one, who's as low as they can go. Perhaps like this boy, the Lord brought them down, or you down, into the dung heap to lift you up on high. So as I said, Paul is in prison in Rome. But he's able to preach. The Lord in His providence put Paul in prison to write the book of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians that we have. Bless God for putting Paul in prison. And the Lord made it so that people could come in and listen to Paul preach while he's in prison. And Paul would sit in, this happened, that Paul would sit in the jail cell or wherever, and people would come in and listen to him preach. Well, one day, one day, in walked Onesimus. This is no accident. 1,000 miles away, Tammy. How'd they get there? This could have happened. Some woman that loved to go to hear Paul preach. Some old woman named Burgie or something. Loved to go hear the apostle preach. And she's walking by and she spots this young man in the gutter. Says, "Young man, won't you come with me? Come to hear the gospel. You're down and out. Come with me and hear the gospel. There's a man down there God has raised up to preach the gospel, the good news, the sinner, like you said, like me. So faithful, saved, and worthy of all acceptation.
Come hear it. Who's the preacher? His name's Paul. Now, who? Paul the apostle. He's preaching down the jail. That's an old friend of my former master. A connection with home. So perhaps he did. Perhaps he went with her. And so he goes down to the jailhouse with her on his own. And he sneaks in. That's the way you come when you first hear God. You sneak in. You don't want to be seen. You don't think you belong there, do you? You sneak in. And what you do also is you hide behind the person in front of you. Oh yeah, that's what people do all the time. It amazes me how people think that I don't see that. Hide behind, either sleeping or hiding. I see it all the time. But he did. I know he did. He didn't want, Paul knows him. And he sneaks in and he gets behind the person in front of him, you know. But he's listening. Paul's preaching. What's he preaching? The gospel. There's only one message to say, huh? What does he preach? Well, he preaches God. In the beginning, God. He preaches God, high and lifted up. High and lifted up, a holy and righteous God. Judge of all the earth, Creator, yet merciful and gracious and kind, and hath opened His hand and fed a people, Isaiah said. Lifted up my hand, fed a people all their days. Girded them, though they didn't know me. Fed them. Took care of them. Their sustainer, their creator. What did they do? Rebelled against God. Weren't thankful. Didn't worship me. Oh, that's all he requires. Just thank me. Just thank me. Nah. Rebels against God. In Adam, all died and become rebels against God. We will not have God reign over us. I don't like this truth about God owning me. I don't like this. Nor were thankful. Became children of disobedience. Walking according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Children of wrath, even as others. Hating God, hating the truth, hating holiness, loving sin, living for it. Rebels against God. But God, Paul preached. If you're worthy of the name, this is what you'll preach. But God, rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loves some, doesn't have to, but He does. This is the amazing part of it. God Almighty set His love upon a number that if He'd have chosen one of these rebels, it would have been infinite mercy and love. Amazing grace. But He chose a number as the stars of the sky. Who could argue with that? If there's one person in glory saved, he'd be saying at the top of his lungs, sovereign mercy. Sovereign grace. But God, rich in mercy, abundant in mercy, for His great love, loves a people that cannot be numbered. And in mercy and grace and according to His purpose, God Almighty purposed to save them from sure death. Destruction. He's going to destroy this despicable place called planet Earth. Yes, He is. And how He did that was to send His beloved Son. God was manifest in the flesh. God Almighty came down here Himself. He left the 90 and the 9 of the saints in heaven, the angels, and came down to this earth and became flesh. Became a man. To do for these rebels, what they would not do, what they could not do, but He could, and He did. His name was Jesus Emmanuel. That's His first name, God with us. But God gave Him another name, that at the name of every knee should bow. His name, Jesus, Savior, the Christ, the substitute, the Redeemer, the Mediator, the Intercessor, the High Priest for sinners, the Savior has come. Jesus Christ is His name. This is what Paul preached. Who? He came. And what did He do? How did He save these people? These rebels. Why?
We already said why God, it just pleased God. And how did God do this?
God Himself came down here. And this rebel who refused to, who hated the law of God and holiness, hated it and loved sin, Christ, God, loved holiness, loved sin. I delight to do thy will, O Father. Here's the rebel over here. I hate this. Here's the Son. I love this. Here's the rebel over here. We will not have God. Here's Christ. I will do your will.
Here's the rebel spit in God's face. Here's the Son accepting, approve, love God, love the law, kept the law perfectly, holy, pure, just, sinless, without spot, without blemish, altogether lovely, sinless, holy Son, the only one of the Most High God. What do you have over here? A rotten, no good rebel that ain't fit for hanging.
But God. And then God says, switch places.
Switch places. God laid on the Son, He who knew no sin, took this rebel. And it's a mystery. I'm doing the best I can, but this is what God Almighty put on His Son. But my father used to always use this illustration. Weight. Sin. Over here, without sin. God Almighty put all the iniquity of His people on His Son. All of it. And then took His perfection, His holiness, put it on Him. So now here we have the sinless one made sin. And God looked on Him and took Him to the cross and said, you deserve to die. And God killed Him. God killed Him. And here's this rebel. No sin. Spotless. Pure. Substitution. God laid on Him. And God, Paul says, hath committed unto us. Paul preached, He hath committed unto me as His apostle this ministry of reconciliation.
And everyone who hears that, every rebel whom God Almighty elects, they hear that message of substitution and it breaks their hard heart. It breaks. God gives them a new heart. They wouldn't hear it if He didn't. He gives them life. They were dead. He gives them life. And breaks their hard heart over their rebellion and points them to Christ crucified, their substitute. And they say, He did that for me? That's right. Why did He do that? He just did. But why did He choose me? He just did. But I didn't do anything. That's right. He did all that for me? All.
You mean God accepts me for nothing? There's nothing Him all. That's right. You sin? He didn't. You're accepted in the blood. You believe that? I want to believe. And God Almighty grants that faith. And He says, Paul wrote, went on to preach, he said, be ye reconciled. Now, stack your, Brother Scott used to always say, stack your guns. Who are you fighting? Young rebel, who do you think you're fighting? God? You won't win. Where are you running? Who are you running from? You think you can run? You think you can run from God? You're running to Him. I'm going to Rome. I'm getting as far away as I can. You're getting closer. That's God, isn't it? That's our sovereign God. He is able to save. He really is. People say that. They don't believe it. We believe it. He's not only able to save the uttermost, He does. And God sent that young runaway rebel as far away from home as he could get to hear the gospel to send him back home again to stay. St. Pack your guns. And Paul is preaching to Onesimus. And now he knows it. Onesimus, Jenny, he's hiding. And there he's peeking out. He's talking to me. Onesimus thought, I'm the only one in this room. You rebel, you run away, you sinner, stack your guns, be reconciled. Submit, bow, come. Christ said, come unto me, that you might have life. Come. And Onesimus did. He did. He believed, right then and there, by the mercy of God. Oh my. And God broke his hard heart, gave him a new heart, granted him repentance, faith, love for the truth, for the gospel, for Christ, love for God's people. You see, he was once a crony he was once a companion of those that hated God. Now he's a companion of them that love him. And now he's in every service. Yes, he is. Now nobody has to ask him to go. It's where he wants to go. And he's there early. And he's a right-hand man of the Apostle Paul. God turned this runaway rebel and slave into a young, profitable helpmate, helper to the Apostle Paul. Can God make an out-and-out thief and a rebel into a preacher of the gospel? That's who you're listening to right now. And now he's a son of the Most High God. And I'm certain he confessed Christ in baptism. Confessed. Now you know he did. That's the command, isn't it? He that believeth in his baptized. Well, he did. And he became a regular in attendance there, a fast friend of Paul. And now Paul writes a letter. You see, that's what happened. And Paul's writing this letter back to his friend Philemon. And he writes this in verse 10. Now, if you see, if you don't know what he's saying here. In verse 10, he said, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. This is the first Philemon's heard of him in years. Onesimus. Yes, he's my son. He's been born again while I was in prison. That's what he means by that. Begotten in my bond. Paul was the one whom God used to preach the gospel of this young man. He quite often used that. He said, you have many teachers and all that, but you have one father. That is, one whom the Lord used to preach the gospel to you. Give new birth. And he said in verse 11 to Philemon, he said, Onesimus, now he was in time past to thee unprofitable. He left a no good rebel, didn't he? But now, Philemon, now he's profitable. He left a no good. Now he's a good man. Oh yeah, that's what God says about his people. That's what Paul said about Philemon, didn't he? A good man in Christ. We'll add that, won't we? In Christ. Oh, Philemon, Onesimus was once worthless. Now he's worthy. Of whom the world is not worthy. In Christ. Onesimus, Philemon, young Philemon that is, once was useless. Now he's of some service. Finally, he's worth something. In Christ. Once a companion of thieves, now he's my companion and the companion of the saints. Once far from God, but bless God, God brought him 1,000 miles to bring him to himself. Now he's drawn nigh unto God by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 12, Philemon, I'm sending him home. I'm sending him back. Why does anybody come to Christ? Because God sent them. God, the Holy Spirit, sent them. Paul says, I'm sending you. Philemon, Onesimus probably thought, I'd love to go back home. I'd love to see my master. I'd love that, but I feel so ashamed. Huh? You know he did. I feel so ashamed. Well, what if he won't have me? Paul says, I just kind of believe he'll have you. I tell you what, I'll write a letter. You know who's taking this down? You know who's taking this letter down? You know who's writing it? Onesimus. Look at the end of it. It says, written from Rome to Philemon by Onesimus. He's writing this down. His own pardon. I hope you're getting that. But you know, our Lord sends us home. But you know what? After this letter is over, Onesimus wants to go home. He's going home willing. Johnny's going. Why is he going? He's been sent. Why is he going? He wants to go. He's been made willing. And here's what the letter that reads. He says, I've sent him again. Receive him that is my own bowels. This young man is me, Paul says. He's my son. He's my beloved. He's my brother. He's me. He's my own bowels. I've begotten him. Are you thinking of this as what Christ says concerning His people? Huh? To the Father? Because that's what this is all about. Huh? The covenant between God the Father and God the Son. And all this can be said of Christ speaking to the Father to the praise of the glory of God's grace wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. See, Paul is writing back to Philemon and says, this young man is now me. You receive him as you would me. I'm sending him home. But he's coming willingly. He wants to come home. He wants to come home. If you'll have him, and I know you will. I know you. I know you will. And you know, Christ said, come unto me. Didn't he? Because he said, I know all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And whoever comes, in no wise cast out. Oh my. What's Philemon need with this runaway slave? Nothing. Except to the praise of the glory of His grace. If he receives this no good rebel, they'll esteem him as being a gracious man, won't they? So it is with our God. We can add nothing to Him. But it'll all be to the praise of the glory of His sovereign, far-reaching grace and mercy. Well, Paul says in verse 15, he said, and we've looked at every single verse together before, but time is going by. Verse 15, he says this to Philemon in the letter, perhaps Onesimus therefore departed for a season. He departed temporarily. That thou shouldest receive him forever. Perhaps he left for a season. He's gone for a season. You didn't see him. Gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray, but just for a season. And in God's good purpose and time, He sends them home to stay. I'm not going to leave again. Oh, my. In verse 16, he says, now, what is he? As a servant? Oh, he's more than that. He departed a slave. He's coming home a son. He's departed worthless. He's coming home. He's going to be of some value to you now. You got nothing out of him before. Now you're going to get something. Praise. A brother, beloved to me and to you also. Didn't Christ say, all mine are thine and thine are mine? If you'll just on your own go back and read John 17, you'll think it's Philemon, the book of Philemon. It is. Same story. Same story. And now look at this blessed verse. You know I wasn't going to pass this up. In verse 17, he says, if you count me a partner, receive him as myself. If I'm your equal, and I am, And didn't Philippians say, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, a servant, a prisoner, Christ, for his...
Why? Why did Christ become a prisoner? That we might be set free, sent home.
And he said in verse 17, receive him as you would me. Philemon, Onesimus is coming home. I'm sending him. I want you to receive him as if it were me walking in the door. As he is. More than a doctrine. As he is, so are we. Not just sons in on a book. Sons of God in God's heart. He said, I have loved thee. Who? You. If you're in Christ. If you come by faith in Christ. Yes. Oh, that's what Christ said. As the Father hath loved me, he loved you. He receives you as me. Why? Because I'm in you. And you in me. Accepted. Loved. Highly esteemed. Oh, but I'm worth nothing. Don't you call unclean what God has cleansed. And he said in verse 18, if he hath wronged thee, oh my, what all did Philemon do? Onesimus do to Philemon? Huh? Ungrateful, wretched, a thief, robbed him, ungrateful, as we said. Whatever he hath done that wronged thee, or if he owes you anything, whatever debt he owes you, Paul says, put that on my account. Charge it to me. And in verse 18, he says, I've written this, and I will repay it. And isn't that the gospel? Huh? We have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and God Almighty laid on Him the iniquity of us all, Christ. We wronged God, and Christ put it right. We owe unto Him a debt we couldn't pay.
The Lord Jesus paid it all. Laid on Him. That's what it's putting on my account. That's the big word, imputation.
Charged to. And Christ said, I will repay it. And He did.
He did. Paid it all. And he said in verse 19, you owe me your own self. And he says, now I know, brother, that you'll let me have joy of thee. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. I have this confidence in your obedience, your willingness. I wrote unto you knowing that you will do.
And our Lord prayed there at Lazarus' tomb. You remember when he prayed, I know you hear me, but I said this for their sake. Who hear me. Are you listening, Onesimus? That was my opening comments 18 years ago when I first preached this message. My opening comments were, I don't know who this is for, but I'm hoping there's an Onesimus out there. That's who it's for. If you're not, the message is just another sovereign grace message. But to a sinner, this is good news. I mean, this is salvation. Life. Paul said, Philemon, I know you'll do more than I ask.
Do you think Onesimus went back to being a servant and a slave? No, he sent back a free man.
I bet he ate up in the big house all the time. At the table as a son. You reckon like old Mephibosheth? And as I pointed out to you, and this blessed me so, Onesimus is writing all this down. As Paul is saying this to Philemon, he's writing it all down. I bet he has to stop. Wait. You reckon? Hold on here. You reckon? This is his freedom. It all depends on this letter. Do you hear this word? It all depends on this word.
So he's taking this letter back to somebody he's offended. He doesn't know if he's going to be accepted or not. But he's got this promise, this hope, John. And he's writing it now. Oh, I like that. Say that again. Do you really say that? That you want him to receive me as you? Oh, I like that. I'll underline that. Make sure he sees it. Huh? I'll highlight it. And he's going to take this letter to Philemon. Say, this is my hope. He's going back to shame, Nancy. No good. He left no good. He still feels no good. And he comes back. Here's a letter. Before you say anything, would you read this? Are you getting this? Bless God, John. Philemon opens it up. And he's smiling the whole time. And Onesimus is getting some confidence. He's, what do you think? Philemon says, welcome home, Onesimus. Come, you blessed one. Come on in. I've been waiting on you. Kill the fatted calf. You reckon? You reckon, Philemon? Kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. May I say that? A feast. Kill the fatted calf. Onesimus, rebel, runaway, has come home to stay. And we're going to, there's just joy. And the whole house erupted. Yes, they did. That's what happened. And you know, they started singing and eating. You know who the happiest one there was. Singing the loudest, who you reckon, huh? Onesimus. Home to stay. All right. Brother Gabe, you come lead us.
Turn to hymn number 485.